This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
205 DGS. We'll talk to Ricky Horton in about 40 minutes, but top of the hour here is where we usually talk a little bit of sports with Wheels. So, win, pitcher's duel, 1-0, kind of boring, but it's a win, right? So,
dude, anything to snap the losing streak, right, to get at least some kind of a positive feeling before they come back home this weekend. So, yesterday was good. Jack Flaherty was good, which is important. They need him to be more consistent now because he's done this where he's had these flashes where he looks like that, like last night, you know, the 6-7 shutout innings, looking like the front of the rotation guy, and then it kind of falters the next time or two through, so... some stability there would be nice. A little more offense would be nice. 1-0, you'll take the win. But the offense has really kind of been the story here for the last 2 weeks where it's been pretty quiet. What's interesting is they start a series against the Reds this weekend. And the Reds are getting a lot of buzz here lately. They've got a lot of really young players showing up that are pretty gifted. This guy that just showed up, he's playing in his third major league game right now for the Reds against the Dodgers. His name is Ellie De La Cruz. He's an infielder for the Reds. 6'5". He has thrown the hardest throw for any infielder in the minor leagues this year. He has the fastest sprint speed of any infielder in the minor leagues this year. And he has hit the hardest baseballs of any infielder in the minor leagues this year. And he's 6'5". So he's like the ultimate weapon, and he's killing it so far. He hit a ball for like 438 feet yesterday or today for a home run. Actually, I think the triple was today, the home run yesterday. So the Reds are coming in with a lot of feel good about them right now.
Yeah.
Like they got a bunch of young players that are swinging the bat really well. And, you know, it's going to be an interesting weekend series.
Okay.
So got that.
So I got to be friends with Panger a few years ago.
Yeah.
God, I haven't seen him much lately. If you're out there, hey, Pang. But what a loss.
It's a bummer. You know, it's a loss for Blues fans. Now, look, there are a lot of really great hockey guys in this town. And I don't want to make it that anybody that steps into his shoes is going to be a step back. I don't know that that's going to be the case, but we're going to miss Panger, man. You know, I mean, he's fine, by the way. He's just taking the Blackhawks job.
Yeah.
He's not sick. He's not anything like that. He's just going to Chicago. And it seems like in some of the reporting on this, that this is essentially because the Bally Sports outlets are facing bankruptcy. So they're not moving on contracts. They're not moving on deals. And Panger's contract had been up. And you read between the lines, you know, the timing of that with all of the bankruptcy things that the Bally Sports outlets, not just here, but the ones all over the country, the one that covered the Padres already just gave away the rights because they couldn't pay their bills.
So I just added a service, just straight up added it to get Bally Sports.
Yep.
Fubo, whatever that is.
Yep.
So what's going to happen when they implode?
If they don't pay their bills, and we don't know that they will or they won't, but if they don't pay what they owe the teams, then those teams can then take their rights back. So what happened in San Diego would be the example. So what happened there was Bally Sports did not pay what they owed at a certain deadline. So Major League Baseball and the team took their rights back, and now Major League Baseball is the distributor for the Padres television. So they're no longer on Bally Sports out in San Diego. So it would probably end up being a similar thing here if that were to happen. I don't think that sounds like that's what's going to happen here, at least not now. It sounds like Bally Sports Midwest is on some stable footing with what they have with the Cardinals and the Blues. But as with all of that, when you're in the middle of bankruptcy proceedings, you never know exactly how it's going to go.
Gotcha.
So it might be that it's just on MLB.TV, which is a separate subscription. But I will say, with the Padres, they also cut deals, I think, with all of the TV providers that are streaming. So like Hulu and YouTube and all of that. So when MLB takes it over, it's going to be more widely available. Good. So should be less of a concern if and when that happens. But yeah, bummer to lose Panger, man. First of all, the nicest guy in the world. Second of all, funny as hell. Third of all, like one of the most generous people you're ever going to run into. You know, he came in, it was around the time, if it wasn't the same year, it was the year after the Blues came back to KMOX going into the 07-08 season, which was the first time I was doing Blues pre and post. So, you know, around the broadcast teams a lot, around Curbs and at the time Kelly Chase, you know, you're around JK and Bernie Federko, and obviously Panger was a part of that group too. Panger could not have been nicer to everyone. I mean, nice to me personally, yes. And ever since then, nice to me personally, even when we, you know, weren't like at the same place at the rink all the time together. Great dude. Sucks to lose him. Blackhawk fans are going to love him. He's a great guy. But I'm really interested to see who's going to get to step in.
I had one of my weirdest nights ever with Panger.
Yeah?
It's when my buddy Jeff Dill was managing Ruth's Chris. And I wasn't known for, like, shutting the place down, you know, like, Mr. Glover's still partying in the private room. But that night, Panger and I and a few others were the last out because both he and I had our bobbleheads distributed that day. And so we ran into each other, and we both have our bobbleheads. And he looks like a smaller version of me. And so one thing led to another, and next thing you know, it's like 3 in the morning at Ruth's Chris, and we're playing with our bobbleheads.
You guys could be brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
You're from
the same mold.
So he's probably a little bit older than you,
probably.
But it's close.
Close.
It's close. The only real difference is, I think you're right, you're a little bit taller, yeah. And the goatee.
And he's obviously a better athlete. That's impressive that he was such a good athlete.
I know.
You know?
You know, in today, what's crazy is in today's NHL, a guy like that probably doesn't even get much of a chance. Even though Panger was clearly talented enough and good enough to be a National Hockey League player. Yeah. I mean, he was fantastic. I mean, when you think about all the people in the world that were goaltenders at that time, there were only, so I'm trying to think of how many teams there were, probably like 26, 28 teams. There were only 56 to 60 NHL goalies, and he's one of them, right? Yeah. That's how good Panger was.
Pretty impressive.
And now, though, they want the big goalies.
Yeah.
They love the guys that eat up all the space in the net. You won't find very many goalies under 6 feet anymore.
Yeah.
And obviously, Panger's a bit under 6 feet.
So from sports to feral hogs.
Oh, yeah. So we hear about these feral hogs. I think they're primarily out in, like, the Texas area, and they just, they're very rambunctious. They're running around.
You make
all
it
the time.
Sound like an 8-year-old boy. Like, he's a little rambunctious.
You look out the window, and they're swinging on your swing set.
Well, people will pay money to go up in a helicopter and shoot these feral hogs because there's so many of them, and they're tearing up the environment, and it's turned into a business to where you can go and do this. Well, it's not just a problem here in America. Apparently, they have the same issues down in Australia. And I found a story about this particular feral hog who stole 18 beers from a campsite, got yeah, good boy. And drunk, went and tried to start a fight with a cow.
This sounds like an Arkansas Razorback.
And then passed out under a tree.
Wow.
So this is a very rambunctious feral hog.
I like this guy.
He got good and drunk. He did what the rest of us do after a night of drinking. He started looking for food. So he went through the trash cans, digging around for a snack to soak up all the beer he had drank. And then, he had some liquid courage, tried to start the fight with the cow, something that he would probably know not to do if he was sober.
Cow's like, dude, you're drunk. Get out of here.
He ended up passing out under a log on the river bank to sleep it off, and he probably had a pretty bad hangover the next day. I just thought that was kind of a cute little story about feral hog who wanted to party, wanted to have kind of a Dave night at Ruth's Chris.
A little rager. And his own little rager.
I would think a feral hog could take a cow.
I would think so, too, because as I said, I don't remember where I said this recently, but I don't think cows are very fighty.
Yeah.
Bulls are. You don't want to mess with them. You get the horns.
Cows, they don't even seem like they move that much. You know what I mean? Like, you could just kind of,
they're nice.
You just dance around a
So cow. According to a witness who was on the scene, they saw him running around their vehicle being chased by a cow. So he picked a fight with the cow.
Oh, wow. So the cow was fighting back. He must be really annoying.
The cow was like, oh, heck no. We're not doing this. And started chasing him. And then the hog bailed out of the fight.
Mm. Want to hear two really interesting archaeological things?
Yes.
one is scientific. The other is religious. scientifically, so there is a giant rock in Australia that's a billion years old.
Yes.
And they have found life forms inside it. They're called eukalyoids or eukalytes. Hmm. And they believe that this is as close to the first life on our planet that we've ever seen. So, like, the classic, like, the primordial ooze, and then there was a cell wall, and then it would, you know, it was self-replicating. That's what these things are from a billion years ago in this rock.
Crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And they're calling it the oldest human ancestor because, of course, everything came from one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the single cell turned into all this stuff.
Where did they find it?
In this billion-year-old giant rock in Australia.
Very cool. Maybe the feral hog was passed out next to it.
The other one, I find this fascinating, is for anyone who enjoyed, like, the Tom Hanks Vatican mystery movies or whatever
those. Da Vinci Code?
There you go. They have found additions to the Book of Matthew in one of the oldest Bibles, like it's like 1500, 1600 years old, where it's not like the pages were stuck together like someone was eating Cheetos or something, but just over time, and someone said, I think there's more text here. And they used modern technology and spectrographs and AI and the whole bit, and they found a different version of Matthew. So it's not like, you know, earth shattering, you know, like, I'm not the son of God. It's like, just Jesus said it this way in the King James or whatever the Vatican uses. They have the Apocrypha. But it is a different version of the Bible and one of the oldest that we have that was sitting in the Vatican library and no one knew it.
Did they say anything about any new parables or stories or anything that they found in it?
No. So far, it just sounds like it's the same stories told differently.
Hmm.
I find it fascinating. I don't know why. I got to thank TikTok again because I found some scholars on there who explain little interesting details. Just how different some of the translations have been over these thousands of years. Like, not even in, not like mistakes even, just like differences in how words are used in each language and then finding that translation, right? So when we talk about slang usage, like if you're teaching someone from Spain how to speak English, they're not going to understand a lot of slang because it doesn't really make sense. It's not a common usage type thing. It's not quite that ridiculous, but that some of the words and phrases used weren't really as they were intended once you get through several translations from multiple languages. Yeah. Fascinating.
It is. And you think that most of these translations were happening, you know, even when once we began writing in any sort of modern form, it was still mostly happening in abbeys by monks.
Yeah,
candlelight.
Yeah.
You know, of course there are going to be differences.
Mistakes
or whatever you want to call them, but, you know, you're not going to have exact copies.
Well, you're not going to be able to do something like we can now where you can open up an app translator and get a really direct translation of something. You're going to have a human being sitting next to each other, and a lot of interpretation would go on in what this language actually means compared to this language and how the words are used.
222 DGS. Anybody watch Bob's Burgers?
Never. My kid did, though.
I mean, I've seen it. I haven't been keeping up with it the past 10 years, but
Jimmy Pesto is Bob's archenemy.
Yes.
And he was just indicted for being a January 6th.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess he did some stuff.
I think he's also on Better Call Saul. Jay Johnstone, something like that.
Hmm.
Yeah. So did he go into the Capitol then?
Must have. I don't think anyone got arrested for just being there unless they were like beating on a cop.
I'll say that. I think it's only those two things. It's if you went in or if you were a part of the physical violence.
Yep.
Well, that seems not great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they're going to have to write that character off the show.
My kid loves Bob's Burgers.
Like, anyway.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Never seen
so
one.
So do mine.
Yeah.
They're really good. You'd like it.
Yeah.
It's quality. Very funny. I was going home last night. And like most of you, it used to be, hey, if anyone lives near the city, you know what it's like to have a panhandler at your stoplight. Now it's pretty much everywhere, like like getting off of major highways. And we've talked about this a lot, having so many homeless downtown. And everyone in this room tries to be very generous with homeless people. But when it is a scourge, when it is a danger
I think that should trump what the court held that there's a right to free speech, because that happens all the time. If I have a right to free speech, but I'm putting other people in danger, you don't get to do it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so last night, and this happens all the time, there is a guy at the corner of Skinker and Forest Park Parkway there by Wash U, the Caldies and stuff, and just walking in between cars and going up to each car and touching the car and communicating with the car to the point that traffic is not flowing. And when it's like the 5 p.m. hour, downtownish area, Claytonish area, and cars are tentative and not moving. I was on my motorcycle the other day and almost ate it, partially because of this, because someone was trying to get away from a panhandler and buzzed out into my lane. And thankfully, when you ride motorcycles, your head's on a swivel and you're always ready to hit the brake. But it's like, look, I feel terrible for these people. I don't think they have no rights to ask for money, but their right to ask for money shouldn't be superior to everyone else's right to stay safe on public thoroughfares.
Yep.
Agree? Disagree?
100% with you.
I agree too, Dave. And the thing is we don't know that I mean, you're very compassionate to say that you feel bad for all of these people, but we don't know that everyone who's participating in that kind of behavior is actually in a bad place. I mean, they could just be out there asking for money and then going home to their apartment. So you can't just be like, they're all homeless. Like, no, I mean, I'm sure some of them are not. And I think it's totally within your rights to be annoyed or be angry or any emotion you're feeling when someone is, like you said, stopping the flow of traffic and creating a dangerous situation for themselves and others. I mean, I live in the downtown area, and there's, I mean, just all the time leaving work, especially, people will just be in the middle of the road going up to cars, asking for money. And it's like, if you get hit by a car, you're not just ruining your life. You're not just hurting yourself. You're also hurting the person who has to have that on their conscience for the rest of their life. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could even be charged with a crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a better way to do it, because their argument would be, I'm sure, well, where else am I going to get enough people coming by where I could actually get some money that I could use to buy food or whatever. But we're not all allowed to just do whatever we want to do to make money.
Good point.
Right? I can't do everything I want to do to make money if it's going to put other people at risk.
Yeah. If I were standing on the same corner, walking in between cars, knocking on every window saying, listen to the Dave Glover Show, and someone called the cops, I don't think they would be as patient with me, you know? If someone was doing the same thing, saying, come to the Cone Barn, come to JCPenney's, hey, I'm having an estate sale, be like, you idiot. What are you doing? You're walking in traffic. Just take out and add in a thrifty nickel or something.
I would throw in some of the, you ever seen I'm sure you've seen it. And so a lot of times, not saying anything about the cause, but sometimes.
Candy people?
You'll get the candy people. You'll get other people that will hold out buckets for whatever, the youth football thing or whatever. I would argue that's kind of the same thing. Like, don't be like, walking into traffic is
also
problematic.
It gets exhausting emotionally as well.
Yeah,
it just does.
That's why I just wanted to say, like, don't let yourself feel too bad because you don't know every situation. I know you have a very tender heart towards anyone who's in a bad position like that, but you can't let yourself go through that emotional storm every time you see someone. I don't think it's wrong to feel annoyed. I don't think it's morally wrong to feel angry. If it's really bothering you and it's creating a dangerous situation, you should be allowed to feel those feelings. It doesn't mean that you don't have compassion for people who are in need.
So Phoebe already has her roommate through social media at KU, and this girl lives in Illinois. She came over. They met in the Loop, went to Fitz's, had lunch, and they're walking up and down Del Mar in the Loop, broad daylight, 2 p.m. on a weekday. And I think 2 or 3 different people came up to them and were like, oh, hello, ladies, and asked them for like $30.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, first of all, stay away from young women. You know, don't talk to a teenage girl ever. But remember that happened to me the other day at the Quick Trip over in like Bellefontaine Neighbors. Mm-hmm. The guy said, look, I only need $50. Like, what? The ask is $50
I only need 50.
Like, that's what we're doing? Damn.
Inflation's hitting everybody.
Yeah, the last time I had that, I forget where I was, but it was on 55 south of St. Louis coming back from a trip or something, and it was like, I need $18 to get from here to wherever I'm going. I think he was like going to Cape Girardeau or whatever. I'm like, well, I don't have any cash. So, but if you're hungry, I'll go inside when I'm buying stuff for me and I'll buy something for you. And he's like, okay. And I did that. But I'm like, it's such a weird thing to ask very specifically like that.
Yeah. Especially kids.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Coming up about 15 minutes, we're going to have Ricky Horton from the Cardinals. And then at the top of the hour, the other day I mentioned that study that said that we can tell so much about a person's behavior, personality, intelligence from the shape of the brain. One of the scientists who is involved in that is from WashU, and he'll be on with us at 3 p.m.
Awesome.
He's going to check our brains.
Nice.
Would you want to know?
That's a great question. A great question. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Test my brain.
Because here's the thing. I just being completely honest, I don't think he would look at the shape of my brain and go, get my sketch pad. I've never seen anything like this.
This is a new one.
But But if he did, I wouldn't be like, okay, yeah, you know, bring me my scepter. But if he was like, yeah, let's go on to the next guy, I'd be like, wait a minute, what do you, like, you know, if I found out that I was like a functional idiot or something.
Okay, this has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, but do you guys ever think about how the microphones in here make you hunch over to talk into them and it's ruining our posture?
Boy, there's so many things about this job like that. I mean, ears, that's got to be bad.
Oh, I'm definitely going to have major hearing loss very soon because I listen to my headphones. So, I mean, it's just part of running the board is I just want to be able to hear everything. So I just have these things cranked at all times.
Did you guys see what the streamers are dealing with their headphones?
Mm.
So there have been some streamers who have discovered, one of them did upon like shaving his head live on camera, that they have indentations in their head now from
their
where their
skull?
Headphones are. Yeah. They have, like, little indentation bumps.
Might want to loosen those up a little bit.
When you say streamers?
Like, video game streamers.
Okay.
Like, people who
said I didn't know that
computer.
Was a term.
I mean, I've got a permanent stripe across my hair that does that.
Really?
Yeah.
From the headphones?
Yeah, like, if you look, there's, like, a ridge on my hair. Like, but that stays there most of the day. It might be gone the next day or, if I take a shower, but then it'll be back there shortly. That's my hair is learning.
Why you guys got to get earbuds and just jam it straight into your ears and lose all your hearing.
Yeah, no, I like the over the ear feel. I like the sound better that way.
Want to hear a terrible story? I'm just going to warn you.
Okay.
So a 10-year-old girl was struck by a stray bullet and killed. And so they're doing her funeral at the cemetery. The funeral director who is directing this little girl's funeral spots a couple people in the audience, in the group, who are from another funeral home. Now, they're there for the little girl. They're not there to steal the business. They're there for the little girl, but they have a rivalry. So as they're about to lower the little girl on the ground, the funeral director starts a beef with these guys. Then he starts beefing with the minister who's there to do the whole religious part of it. And they start shuffling around, and the funeral director gets knocked on his ass, almost falls into the open grave, pulls a gun, shoots a pallbearer, and kills him.
What in the hell?
That happened.
When you say he started beefing, you mean just started yelling at the people?
Yeah.
Caused quite the...
I'm sorry, beefing's a term for cool guys. But
yeah, I mean, yeah. I just wanted to clarify.
It's used mostly by streamers.
They didn't use that back in the colonial days.
Streaming.
I just keep getting burned
different.
To that one. I should have never said nothing.
You shouldn't have said to us, if it wasn't colonial, I wasn't interested.
Yeah, okay.
That's not going to come back and haunt you.
I've been streaming beefing.
What?
I've been streaming beefing.
Nope.
Well, that's a horrible story, and I feel terrible for that little girl's family.
Crazy, though, huh?
Mm-hmm. And I feel really bad for the pallbearer, too.
Fun facts. Funner than that. The Postal Service would like you to know. Remember, like yesterday, we had a story about in the early 1900s,
babies.
You could mail a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You can also mail a coconut or a potato, and you don't even have to wrap it or put it in a box. Just write the address on it. Weigh it for the postage and ship it as is. We have got to do that.
You can do this now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
My college roommate freshman year had a buddy, I think in the Netherlands, who used to just send quote-unquote postcards on the cardboard interior of the toilet paper roll. You just throw stamps on it, write a note on that, and just throw it in the mail.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty interesting guy.
The Hoover Dam is made of 4.3 million cubic yards of concrete. If it were made to, if it were used to make a highway, it would stretch from San Francisco to New York.
Cool.
Oh, now that puts it into perspective. I'm like, I don't know what those numbers mean.
Yeah, it's like, sounds like a lot.
How would that relate? Now I'm going to Google, but I want to know how that would relate to, like, say, the Great Pyramid.
Hmm. Probably find that out.
Yeah.
Cans of Diet Coke float in water, but cans of Coke sink. Because the sugar in Coke weighs 39 grams and the sweetener in Diet Coke is 125 milligrams. So sugar is going to sink. Didn't know that.
A lot of grams.
Wonder about Coke Zero.
I think it would be that would be a form of diet. So.
I bet that one flies.
Yeah.
It bounces.
Wheels without Googling. If you can tell me the answer, I'll give you $20.
Hands up.
The college with the most national football championships.
Oh, Alabama.
No, sir.
No? Oh, is it...
Lewis and Clark.
No, it's something dumb. It's like Army or Navy or something from the old days.
Princeton.
Ah, there you go.
Princeton had 28, most of them in the late 1800s.
That was back in the time, though, where you would just be like, we're the champs! And everybody would be like, okay.
They said
no,
it.
Yep.
No way of checking.
No.
What the hell are we supposed to do? I see Slipknot parted ways with their keyboard player.
Yeah, or maybe not. There's like this really
weird... Who knew
weird...
that Slipknot had a keyboard player?
I did. If you go to the show, you can see they have a DJ, they got a keyboard player, you got two guitarists, a bassist, a real drummer, two other percussionists up on the top, and the lead singer, Corey Taylor. So they got nine people up there. They're called the Nine. Anyway, the keyboard guy apparently... Yeah, they do that. Yeah. They used to go just by numbers, not by names, but I'm not going to bore you guys with the details. But apparently yesterday they tweeted this that, you know, he's gone and... We're parting ways, but then there's like some mystery. Like they took down the tweet, and now there's a web page that they created that's got some kind of weird, goofy, like backwards music playing thing. So nobody's really sure exactly what's going on there.
Maybe he's changing his name or something.
Maybe,
like that.
Or he's changing. Like, see what happened
his
last
name
time
from the nine. To
the last
seven.
Time they had to replace a band member. They didn't announce who it was. They didn't announce who the person was going to be. He was just called Tortilla Man because they wear masks. And the mask kind of looks like a tortilla.
This but band just gets cooler
and
cooler.
Yeah. But it turned out.
You can tell he's so embarrassed having to tell us
no,
that.
No, I love this stuff. I have been waiting for you guys to bring this stuff up for years now.
It's like
now.
A tortilla. It's like a thing. I don't want to get into it.
They kept it a mystery until later on people figured out that it was actually this really classically trained pianist. Maybe this is the guy that's gone now. He's probably going back. Yeah, there's an A in there.
They called him the pianist.
He's probably going back to his classical career.
There's a lot to it.
Do you want to know what's even more fun?
Another fun fact. Classical musician.
Here's your fun fact. The drummer for Slipknot is also the drummer for the E Street Band when they go on tour.
Hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yep. Max Weinberg's son, Jay Weinberg.
Tortilla Man was just Andrew Lloyd Webber.
I always get Andrew Lloyd Webber and Frank Lloyd Wright mixed up.
Oh, yeah. I think I did too.
And I'm always I want to go to the Andrew Lloyd Webber house.
Yeah.
Andrew, you were sold on a service by a sales pitch?
Yeah. I got the unlimited drink membership at Breadco. And I got it because I went in there and I was picking up a DoorDash. And the girl behind the register was like, "So do you DoorDash a lot?" And I thought she was flirting with me.
She was hitting on him.
I thought she was flirting with me, so I was like, "I get around, you know. I'm a journeyman. I go from fly to try. I ramble, you know. I've been known to."
I'm just picturing Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation at the store.
Yeah, me in the trash car.
She was basically like, "You are so stupid." If you're, because I was paying like $5 for a drink. Because my wife really likes the caffeinated lemonades.
You didn't mention her, did you?
I did.
He's
not.
Like, I like them. I like them.
But she's like, "You are so stupid if you're paying $5 for this thing every time you come through," which I had been doing. And I was like, "Oh." And she's like, "Yeah, why don't you just do the stupid drink membership thing?"
She's saying stupid a lot.
Yeah.
I think this might be editorializing a bit from.
Not in the slightest. Direct quotes.
How much is the membership?
It's like $10 a month, and you get a drink every 2 hours.
I don't know why that sounds so bleak.
Sounds like a purgatory.
All right, guys, I'll see you in 2 hours.
Hey, we actually did that last night. We got a drink when we started, and then 2 hours later,
I can't believe I'm asking this, but like, what drinks are included?
Like coffees, fountain sodas, and then, like I said, these they call them charged lemonades. It's these. Like caffeinated fruity lemonades.
Oh, didn't we have a story about that with a lady
wanted to sue because she didn't realize it had caffeine.
They have a lot of caffeine.
Yeah. I mean, it's called charged lemonade.
So
did you think it was electric?
Did you have to commit?
Like 3 months I committed for, and then probably more after that. It's a pretty good deal for us specifically, like being out and like, you know, having to occasionally.
Yeah.
Have to go to, you know, like Breadco or whatever.
So if you just go into the Breadco, what, do you have like a badge you show them or?
Yeah, you know, I brag a little.
Is it on your card?
I brag it a little bit. I say like.
So my question is though, can you just go in, get a coffee and just leave?
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
They don't sweat you on like, wouldn't you like a.
You don't want a bagel?
No. I say, give me the cup and they give me the cup. And
you just have to go twice a month basically to just break even.
Rachel, I'm the one hunched over, aren't I?
No, I'm the one hunched over. Can't you see how hunched over I am?
No, I'm too hunched over.
I got a hunch to talk into this.
You're both
mic.
A little,
You're
both having to do
because
one of these.
These mics are so, it's not our fault. It's the way the studio is set up. I can't, if I stand, I can't talk into the mic. If I sit, I have to hunch over and it hurts my spine, quite frankly.
Kevin is in a state
of
low rider.
I'm in the low rider.
Yeah, Wheels is the only one who's comfortable.
Kevin is below sea level.
Well,
he is
there
so low.
There you go,
right,
Steve
now.
Moore. You're hurting Rachel's spine. I hope you're proud of yourself.
Workman's comp.
Richard's in the posture that Amy gets when she gets weird. Like,
yeah. I'm nervous Amy right now.
You look like Half Pint from episode 8 of Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm. Steve said he was going to get me a colonial dress to wear to work.
I don't think he's allowed to say that. call me crazy.
I take it back. I take it back.
You could complain to HR except for
he is
HR, so. I'm going to buy you the prettiest little pantaloons you've ever seen. 250 in the dot, DGS. Ricky Horton joins us. Hey, Rick.
Hey, I love the Queen lead-in. I feel like I'm escaping from reality today.
Hey, before we do baseball stuff, let's do really stupid stuff.
We did
this on the show yesterday. You're part of of the show now. So I assume being on the road now and then you'll eat fast food. So give me a main entree or sandwich, a side, and a drink from three different fast food places to make the ultimate Ricky Horton drive-through meal.
Oh, I am going to throw you a curveball right away because I'm a vegetarian, Dave. So I'm going to go with the sandwich. It's going to be from So Fresh and it's going to be a wrap, not a sandwich. It's going to be a veggie wrap.
We had that yesterday.
And I'm gonna want a side of. What do I want a side of? I mean, I'm going to be a little decadent on that. I'm going to say McDonald's fries. I mean, let's be serious.
There you go.
And what was the other thing? I got a side
and
I got
a drink.
And a drink. I'm kind of an iced tea guy. Sorry, that's kind of simple. And I want, you know what? I want the iced tea from, where do I want the iced tea? Who makes good iced tea? I'm going to go with McDonald's again on the iced tea.
How long you been a vegetarian, Rick?
4 years.
And how's it go? Is it difficult? Do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it. I feel good on the road. It's hard in press dining, as you might imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a lot of salads and a lot of, you know, but I'm actually a pescatarian now. So I like to refer to myself as a Presbyterian pescatarian. So I mean, that's kind of, so I will eat fish if it's available.
You are going to have no trouble getting into heaven. But if you happen to be right behind me in line, oh my God.
I'll drag you across.
Oh, yeah.
Just get behind and shove.
Just like they
do in football, right?
I'll
just get behind the quarterback and push.
I'll say, yeah, I'm with Horton.
Exactly.
I'm with Ricky.
Ricky's got the and. He got the plus one.
Oh, you know what I do? I see Ricky behind me, and I'd like, as people are talking to him because he's Ricky Horton, I'm like, no, I'm Ricky Horton. That's Dave Glover. They're like, okay, Mr. Horton, come on through.
You have to show ID to get in. I'm not really sure how that works.
They're like, Mr. Glover's going to take a while. You come on in.
Oh, boy.
So, as I was telling Wheels, watched the whole game last night. It's a win. Pitcher's duel. They aren't the most exciting, but hey, it's one in the W column.
Yeah, it's exciting if you're an ex-pitcher, I will say that, because honestly, the pitching was really fun. And, honestly, long-term, it's good, because to have Jack Flaherty do what he did means a lot, because I think the kind of the prospects going forward. I was thinking about this, guys, yesterday. You know, I feel like to be a player at that level, and I think maybe I've just been geared to be this way, you know, are you glass half empty, glass half full? I think the only way to compete is to be glass 90% full, trying to get better. And so sometimes I come off as being optimistic, but I think it's just my training in having to say, hey, what's working right and how can I get better? Because I think if you're less than 90% positive, I think you have a lot of self-doubt and it's hard to compete. And I'm hoping to win yesterday, an off day, kind of gets a little confidence bred into the Cardinal players.
Rick, it's interesting looking at it kind of through the lens that you just described. One thing that Flaherty's done really well this year is he has been one of the better guys in the National League at limiting hard contact. And the problem has been walks and or fastball command when problems have come up. So we're along the lines of things of whether they're easy or difficult to correct as you go through the year, where does that kind of thing fall?
Well, I think if you're Jack Flaherty and you sense what you did the last game, you say, no, I didn't want to walk three guys in the first inning. But I think you actually start with, I pitched really well and gave up no runs. So I actually mentally, I think you have to start with that. And then you have to say, okay, that's the 10%. How do I get better? Well, I get better by not creating stress for every Cardinal fan on the planet by walking three guys in the first inning, including myself. And it seemed like the first inning yesterday felt to me like it was a microcosm of the whole season. It seemed easy for them and hard for us. And we were hanging by our fingernails, but you know, we still came out on top. So again, emphasize the positive. And I hope Jack does that. I hope he, you know, and the players talk about building on it, Kevin. I think that's what we're talking about, is building on the positives from it, even though there's always a way to get better.
You struck a chord in my brain, Rick, when you talked about stress for like everybody watching. But talk about like high stress innings for a pitcher, because it's absolutely a thing. It can be both physical and mental, but obviously it impacts performance even beyond that game sometimes.
Well, I'm a little scared that I'm actually inside your brain right now and striking a chord in your brain. Wheels, I'm really scared now. But honestly, you know, I mean, 100% that's true. I mean, you kind of, you know, again, you kind of have the bad moments, but you have to go back to the good things. I guess that's where I want to come back to again. You have to kind of say, you know, you have to be realistic about what's going on, but you also have to be optimistic. That's the best way I can say it.
So, Rick, I know that it obviously depends on who the coach was and what the situation was, but in general, because none of us have ever done this but you, when you're pitching and you're struggling and the coach comes out to the mound, do you have any say-so to stay in? And if so, what worked? Like, is it like getting out of a traffic ticket? Like, do you cry? Do you yell?
I asked my manager in the minor leagues, why are you taking me out of this game? That's what I said to him. This is a guy that's one of the three retired uniforms. He's passed now, but Jim Fregosi, one of the three uniforms in Anaheim. So his jersey's up. He's a big deal. And I said, what are you doing taking me out of the game? He didn't say a word. And then he went in the clubhouse and yelled at me for about 10 minutes. So I learned then, you know, the answer to the question, do I have say-so, is no. Now, maybe if I'm Adam Wainwright, maybe. But you know, in my case, I just hand him the ball and just go get him next time. So honestly, and another point I would make about that, Dave LaPointe said this as a former teammate of mine. He said, if a coach asks me how I feel, he said, I'm going to tell them, stop asking me that because I'm going to lie to you. Think about this.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you I feel good because if I tell you I feel bad, I'm admitting that I can't get the next guy out and I can't go there. So you're going to have to figure it out yourself.
Rick, related question. And again, I know it's different every time, but typically when the catcher comes out, what are you guys discussing?
Yeah. Well, you know, it depends on the catcher. The smartest catcher I ever had was Mike LaValliere, and he would come out and he'd say, okay, you're facing Darryl Strawberry. Which way do you want to get him out? He said this to me once. Which way do you want to get him out this time? Think about the psychology of that sentence. It's which way, because you've got multiple, which ways do you want to get him out this time? And you say, you know, you got him out in spring training this way. You got him out last year this way. Where do you want to go? And so it's really the catcher kind of trying to calm down a pitcher at that point. I'm actually an advocate, and you may have heard me say this a couple times on the air, and I'm an advocate of, hitters get timeouts during our new rules. I think pitchers should get one timeout per inning. And I don't want – and they say, well, there's mound visits. Well, I don't want somebody out there talking to me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one time per inning. I want to be by myself. I don't want the catcher. I don't want a pitching coach. I don't want infielders crowding around me because that's stressful, man. I just want to be by myself and collect my thoughts.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the day off. Thanks, Rick.
All right. See you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.